This is Churches in Action, hosted by KAAM Ambassador Tiffany Jones. Listen now as she presents natural, relevant conversations with popular Dallas-Fort Worth pastors, as well as other Christian leaders who will certainly minister to you and perhaps change your thinking on timely and timeless issues Texas Christians wrestle with every day. Here's Tiffany.
Welcome to Churches in Action. I'm Tiffany Jones, and today my guest is Dr. Andy McQuitty. They call him Pastor Andy from Irving Bible. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. How are you?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing very well. Thank you, Tiffany.
Okay, you guys, I have these two books in front of me that he wrote, and we have so much to talk about. I don't even, not sure I know where to start, but let's first start with the fact that you are an author. You wrote Notes from the Valley 3 years ago, and I want to read everybody. It says on the cover, Notes from the Valley, a spiritual travelogue through cancer.
Yes.
What inspired you to write this book?
Yes. Taking a spiritual travel trip through cancer inspired me to write this. I was diagnosed in July of 2009 with stage 4 colon cancer. I was just minding my own business. I was sitting in my office one day and got a phone call from my doctor. I'd just taken a colonoscopy, and he said, Andy, get in here fast. You got a huge tumor that's broken through the walls. You've got cancer. We got to take care of this.
You had zero symptoms.
Mm. You know, I had gone in for a blood test, just a physical with my general practitioner, who discovered that I was highly anemic. In fact, Dr. Richard Johnson, who's my friend and my doctor, said, Andy, if you suddenly had this low volume of blood, hemoglobin in your body without having your body adapt to it over many, many months, you'd be dead right now. He said, that's how anemic you are. And so they set about finding the source of the leak, if you will, and it was the colonoscopy that showed it was stage 4 colon cancer.
And I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do know that surviving stage 4, any kind of cancer, is extremely rare, and especially colon cancer.
Yeah.
You did give me a stat. What is the stat on that?
Well, my particular case, if you will, was rated as by my doctors, I had an 8% chance of survival.
Eight.
Which is better than 7, you know? And so I took it. I said, okay, 8 is better than 7. And so we set about, you know, had 2 major surgeries and then a couple of years of pretty gnarly chemotherapy, all of which time my church family was praying for me. They set up this phone number to an old-fashioned pager. Do you even remember what a pager is?
I do.
You just dial the number and it beeps. The person that has the pager doesn't know who's calling, and there's no way to leave a message. But our staff put out, when I was going through all these surgeries and chemotherapy, to the church and to all our missionaries and really people around the world, hey, pray for Pastor Andy. And when you pray for him, just beep his beeper. It'll encourage him. Tiffany, that thing, from the moment they launched it, until I was clear of cancer 3 years later, that pager never stopped buzzing. It was around the clock. Buzz, 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 buzz. Thousands and thousands of calls. And that is what I'm convinced moved the Lord in his goodness and his grace to spare my life. And having spared my life and brought me through it, I felt a strong obligation to write this book, Notes from the Valley, to others who are going through this valley of cancer and their families, to answer some of the questions that come to people, especially people of faith, when they're going through what looks like a terminal illness. And I had lots of questions. You know, when I was diagnosed, I went through some dark nights of the soul where I was kind of debating with God about this. You know, Lord, it's me down here, right? I've been serving you. I'm a pastor all these years, and I got this. And that's the first chapter in the book, is essentially, why me? Why this? Why me? Why now? And the other 9 chapters are all answering those similar kinds of questions that come to those of us who go through that valley of cancer, and for their families, because they have the same questions for us. And God answered all those questions for me, and from the Word. And so I wrote the book. I felt obligated to say, hey, if you have been tapped on the shoulder by the Lord to go through this valley, consider it a privilege and an honor. He has a task for you, and here's how you accomplish it.
And it's a valley, which means there's a way out. Well, it means there's an up, right?
Yeah, there's a valley. And as I write in the book, you know, valleys are among the most beautiful topography on planet Earth. And there are wondrous things to see and experience when you're going through this valley of cancer.
I can really appreciate, I have fortunately not had cancer, but definitely had some valleys. And I can appreciate when you say there are some beautiful things in the valley, and there truly are. And I think your pager was a beautiful thing. I mean, you had to have thought, do you still have that pager?
I still have the pager. And that pager became rather famous in the whole medical community in Irving. I did all my treatments at Irving Baylor. And I would take this pager with me for my chemo treatments. I would take it for my doctor's appointments. And because it was such a testimony to the goodness and glory of God, that people, his children, would pray so faithfully for another one of their brothers or sisters. And so I took this pager with me, and I did it because when I started chemotherapy, you know, if you've never been in a chemotherapy waiting room, it's quite an experience. I sat down with my wife the first day for chemo, and there were probably 25 people in the room. And you could look around that room, and you could tell instantly who has hope and who has nothing but despair. It's all over their face. It's on their body language and their families that are sitting with them. And so I went to my first chemo treatment, and I saw this, and I thought, how much hope I have because I have all these people praying for me. How can I help these other people have hope in the Lord too? The next time and forever, in all my doctor's appointments, all my chemotherapy treatments, I brought that pager, and I set it right out on the table in that waiting room while we're all waiting. And it's just buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. And one day, I had it on the table. We were waiting for our chemo, and this big biker dude, tats and, you know, piercings, and, you know, his name is Frank. He's a friend of mine to this day. He's sitting there. He's waiting for his chemo. I'm sitting there. You know, there's 25 people in the room at least. And this thing's just going and going and going, and everybody hears it, but nobody said anything about it until Frank finally said to me, dude, are you going to answer that or what? And I said, Frank, that's not something I can answer. It's a pager. And every time it rings, that means that somebody has prayed for me. But I was also able to say to him, and for all of you too. Because I had gone to my congregation after they gave me that pager. I said, this is awesome. Thank you. It was ringing around the clock. I said, I'm thinking about using this as a way to encourage other people in this cancer valley. So I said to all the people, I said, will you promise me that whenever you call this pager, just to say, Pastor Andy, praying for you, would you pray for me and everybody around me? And everybody in the, you know, the eyes wide, okay, yeah, we'll pray. So I was able to say to Frank when that thing, I said, this is not something you answer. It means that somebody just prayed for me and everybody around me. And I looked around the room, and 25 sets of eyes were all looking at me. And I said, yes, you too.
That is amazing.
And so
and you I gave took
that
hope.
I took that to
in
doctors.
You were helping other people.
Well, you know, my brothers and sisters in their prayers were helping, yeah. All I did was share it. I just shared the blessing, so.
And they needed to hear that.
Oh, I think probably hope and encouragement is in short supply in the lives of those who are going through that cancer valley, probably more than anything else.
And you know what I have learned in life when you said that? you talking to people right now on this radio, things that you said, maybe they're not going through cancer, but they're going through some other valley. And just you saying hope, you know, going through a valley and the hope. And I would love for you to tell us, first of all, I'm curious, did you write this in order, the chapters in order?
I did. I actually I did this book completely backwards. If you want to get published, you're supposed to submit a proposal, which is a very detailed, you know, directory of what you're going to write in the book, and actually write a couple of chapters of the book, and you submit this to a publisher and say, hey, give me a contract, I'll write the rest of it under the supervision of your editors. I got through this. I was declared in January of 2012 in complete remission.
That was a long time.
And it just so happened that all our pastors at IBC, we get a 3-month sabbatical after 7 years of service. So it just so happened that my declaration of being in remission coincided with the beginning of this 3-month sabbatical. And so I just set about in those. I wrote the book in 3 months.
Wow.
And basically I just set about writing the story of it because, as I said earlier, I felt obligated to the Lord that this is paying forward.
That was no coincidence. That was a God. That was totally a God wink. Hey,
so I just sat down. I wrote the whole thing, and then I sent the full completed manuscript to. I picked out the top 8 Christian publishers in the world. And basically I wrote this cover letter. I said, you don't know me from Adam. Here's who I am. Here's what just happened to me. And here's a book about that experience. If you have any interest in this at all, let me know. And of course, you know, Christian publishers today, well, publishers in general, they don't even read unsolicited manuscripts, much less actually accept them. So I was just, this was completely backwards of everything. And it was so amazing that 3 of them got back to me with interest. 3 of them got back to me and said, hey, this is unusual, but we're fascinated by what you have here. And of the 3, 2 of them were like really interested, like pursuing all the way to their editorial board whether or not to give me a contract for this. And of those 2 that were really serious, 1 actually got it through their board, and that was Moody Publishers out of Chicago. And so they said, we want this book. We're going to publish this book. But, Andy, don't ever do this to us again. And so the second book I also published.
Did you do it to them again?
I did it. No, I didn't. I did it the right way with Way to Brave.
It sounds to me, though, like the first way was the right way for you.
Well, it was the way that was natural and organic, and that God had ordained it. So,
let me ask you a question about Notes from the Valley before we move on to The Way to Brave. I'm sure this is hard to answer, but is there a chapter in here that if I could only read a chapter and that was a must read, what chapter would you say it was?
I would say probably the very first chapter.
The first one, the why me.
Yeah. And really, you drill down into the why me question, and what that chapter is all about is how to get good with dying. I think that's the first task of every person who enters into a valley of a potentially terminal illness, and cancer is that. And I just think that if we enter that valley with only one option that is open to us to accept, and that is that God would heal me completely and that this would be behind me, that we have limited what God can do for his glory and for the kingdom's sake through our life and testimony. I think it's fine for us to pray for that and to ask for it and to hope for it, but I think beyond that, the first question we have to ask, am I ready to die? And am I willing to go joyfully and gladly, giving testimony to the Lord and his goodness, even if the ultimate destination of this diagnosis is that I shuffle off this mortal coil and enter my heavenly zip code, which is way better than the zip code I have right here. So, yeah, I think that's That's probably the seminal chapter in the whole book, is the very first one.
And it almost sounds like probably the greatest misconception of praying when you're in cancer. Pray you heal, pray you heal. But maybe would you say that the greatest prayer would be praying that you're okay with either way?
I would say greatest prayer.
I should take that back.
I would say that that is the attitude that we must have as Christians, is that, Lord, you are sovereign and my life is in your hands.
Your will.
And however you can use my life or losing my life for your glory in the king and for your kingdom's sake, that's what I want. Now, there is a whole chapter in that book on how to pray. How to pray when you're sick, how to pray when you're dying, and what to expect. And, you know, I do a lot of systematic theology from the scriptures about prayer and the power of it, and also the attitude of it. It's not demanding, it's not asserting, but it is persistent, and people, it is specific.
It is, and people appreciate how to pray. There's sometimes when, if you're in that situation, you have cancer, you just don't even know what to pray, what to say, what to do. And having a little guide to say, hey, here's what you can pray, that's helpful.
Get that book, and you'll know how to pray.
How do people get this book? If somebody, and
it's bookstores, Amazon, it's everywhere.
From the Valley: A Spiritual Travelogue Through Cancer, and he has it up here at the top, Andy McQuitty, but he doesn't have Dr. Andy McQuitty. So if you're Googling him for this book, it just says Andy McQuitty. Forward by Matt Chandler. That's
Matt awesome. And I went through this valley together.
Together, really?
Yeah. He got brain cancer, and I got colon cancer almost simultaneously. And the funny thing is, Matt's surgeon that operated on his brain is a member of our church. So I used to always tell Matt, I said, you better pray that I preach really well, because your surgeon is sitting in my, you know, and we laughed about it. We even had a $5 bet as to who could live the longest.
Seriously.
Yeah, and that's still in play. Matt, if you hear this, you know.
Matt, if you hear this, come on Churches in Action. I have a bet with some people.
we still have a $5 bet who can live the longest.
So you were pastoring and preaching the whole time that you were sick.
I was. I cut back on the frequency of my preaching. Fortunately, I had already installed a preaching team at our church with four other very gifted and powerful communicators, all members of our church, part of our team. And so when I was going through the most difficult parts of my treatment, the surgeries, the chemotherapy, and so forth, I never stopped preaching altogether. But I cut back from 2-3 times a month, multiple services each time, to maybe in the worst of it, once or twice a month. But I never stopped. And I continued to do all my other ministerial functions. It's funny, because part of my chemotherapy was every 2 weeks I would go in for my infusions, and I would leave from those infusions with a pump that continued to pump the FOLFOX concoction of drugs into my body. And I had to wear that pump for another 48 hours. Well, that other 48 hours usually encompassed like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So there were times. I remember one wedding in particular I was doing at SMU at Perkins Chapel, in this big, beautiful, formal thing. And I got the pump, and I'm up there in this young couple, and every 3 minutes that pump would go, you know, and I'm just going along. I'm conducting the whole funeral, and they're looking, they're hearing this pump and going, after the thing, I apologized, and I said, I should have warned you that I'm wearing this pump. But I did funerals, I did weddings, I preached sermons with the pump, did the whole thing, never stopped, just cut back the frequency a little bit.
God really, really gave you strength.
It was an adventure.
I have to be curious about this. Would you share with us one prayer to pray? Mm-hmm. Somebody out there is suffering from cancer, they don't know what to pray, and you said there's certain prayers in here to say. Just would you share one before we go on to talking about your next book?
Well, yeah, I think we should follow Jesus' instructions about how to pray. That we approach our Heavenly Father as a good, good Father, who doesn't want to give us a snake. He wants to give us bread, right? You remember the story Jesus told? And also Jesus told the story about the persistent prayer, the woman who knocked and knocked and knocked and would not stop asking. I think we combine the persistence of seek and ask prayers, persistently applied, all under the rubric of thy will be done. Thy will be done.
That's beautiful.
Is, you know, I'm a great believer in asking boldly and specifically for what you want.
But you also are? That's interesting.
With a posture of humility saying, but Lord, like Jesus, your will be done in this and not mine. Because ultimately, his will is the best for me. So I want his will to prevail. But I'm, you know, go ahead and fulfill his request that we would ask him for things. And to do it boldly, but humbly and not demandingly.
Okay. I appreciate you sharing that because it is hard. You know, a lot of people say you can't. There's certain ways to pray, and you can't say this, and you can't say that. But when you say that boldly, it sounds like you can kind of say anything you want to him. Yeah. But as long as you're asking in the right way. And
right. With the proper humility, not demandingly, not saying, Lord, I claim your healing.
There are some people who pray that way, by the way.
Oh, I know.
It is yours, claim it.
And when I was going through this, and ever since, I have a lot of people who call me up from around the country and want to know how to pray that I claim it prayer because they think that that's how I was healed. Is, you know, they hear the story about the pager and all these people praying for me and they think, oh, they know how to say the right words to get God to heal somebody. That's not what this is about at all. And so, yeah, I think we believe that God can miraculously heal, and we believe that he is committed to miraculously heal us, if not in time, then in eternity, right? I mean, I knew all along, I'm going to be healed of this. Now, I may be healed by passing from this life into the next life where I'm going to have a resurrection body and I'm going to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what I call ultimate healing.
Absolutely.
Right? So, you know, God is going to heal us. I mean, we're going to be healed. The only question is, you know, is it here and now or is it over there? And that's what the first chapter is about, is getting good with dying. It's getting that perspective that, hey, this is just the anteroom to the big room. You know, time is just the prelude to eternity. And that's where the action is, right? That's where eternity is. And that's where we're going to be alive with physical bodies in a recreated heaven and earth. I mean, it's ultimate healing. So the question is not, am I going to be healed? The only question is timing. And that's where I think we have some leeway to make our requests known to the Lord. Hey, Lord, I'd love it if you give me a few. You know, Hezekiah's prayer in the Old Testament, God gave him 15 more years to stay alive. And of course, we know he blew it. I have this in the book. Hey, if God answers your prayer that he would heal you here as opposed to in heaven where he's guaranteed to heal you, you better make good use of the time he gives you. You know, it's a gift and it's a privilege. And so that's why when I say I felt obligated to write this book, that was part of it. It's like, he gave me extra time here. He answered, I need to make good use of that. Hence that book.
Do you think it would be beneficial for people in general to have that attitude about life, being okay that it's not that you're going to die?
Yeah.
What would that be like if you weren't sick and you just had that attitude?
So you just asked a very penetrating question that kind of unmasked the title of this book and what people think it's about from the title. People, from the title of the book, it has cancer in it. They think it's a book for people that are going through cancer. It's really not. And I actually admit this in the last chapter is, you know, I put this whole thing up like, you know, this is for Christians going through cancer. It is for Christians going through cancer, but it's for Christians going through suffering, Christians going through disappointment, Christians going through the pain of living in a broken world. And that's all of us. So this book is, as you perceive, it's not just for cancer. It's for all of us, and it has to do with trusting the Lord through the pain of living in a broken world.
It's interesting that you said that, because, and I have to admit to my listeners, I haven't read the book. And my first gut, I think I said in the beginning, I said this could be anybody going through.
Yeah, it is. It's any pit. It's any problem, which, as you know, I mean, Jesus saved us from the penalty of our sins, but we're still living with the consequences of a broken world. And that's temporary, because that even that's going to end at some point. And we're going to enter back into Eden restored, paradise restored, which is heaven. And but until then, this book is very relevant to all of us.
I'd like to thank Dr. McQuitty for sharing his journey in the valley with us. I hope whatever valley you're in right now has had some light come in through Pastor's healing words. We had so many things to learn from Pastor. I'd like to invite you to tune into part 2 of Pastor Andy, October 31st at 6:30 p.m. We will discuss his second book, Way to Brave. You're sure to be touched by his words and experiences. We really are appreciative of Dr. McQuitty coming in from Irving Bible Church. And if you'd like to visit Irving Bible, you can get more information at www.irvingbible.org. Churches in Action is on every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. right here on KAAM 770, God Country, Texas.
This has been Churches in Action with Tiffany Jones. For more information on the pastor you just heard, go to 770KAAM.com and click on the Churches in Action page, or call KAAM at 972-445-1700. Thank you for listening to CIA and to all of the quality programming on 770KAAM. For the betterment of our walk as believers, and on behalf of God, country, and Texas.